So welcome to Ross Live for March 2017. The topic today is package discovery and documentation. And so this came about because there is a lot of work going on in ROS in the general world, and it is often hard to find what you want and the particular features of what you want because it is not particularly well documented. Before we dive into general discussion, just have people introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Chris Lancet. I'm a fairly new employee at the OSRF. I'm listening in to, just to get a basic idea of what some of the problems here are and learn more.
Hi, this is Dirk. I also work on ROS at the Open Source Robotics Foundation.
And this is David Liu. I'm sort of going to act as moderator for all of this.
So my name is Gijs van Hoorn. I'm a researcher at the Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands, and I'm here representing the ROS industrial community.
Okay, so we have a laundry list here. So this is William Woodall. I also work at the Open Source Robotics Foundation on ROS. We also have Alan. Let us go around the room. We'll start with Bob.
So this is Mikael. I've been working at the OSRF Foundation for a year on the ROS team too.
This is Nick Kodak.
Diana Hood.
Shane Lawrence.
And Stephen Regnerock.
And Tully Foot will also be jumping into this call every now and then. So, William, you want to start off with anything, or I can give my understanding of the ROS documentation pipeline?
To be honest, the discourse thread that started all this, I've only been following it, skimmingly. So it might be that someone else on our team even has a better understanding. Actually, Tully might be the one most versed in this. I don't know if he's able to talk right now, but I don't know. I don't really have a good summary on my side, so it might be better for someone else. I was kind of hoping Daniel would be here. But
well, so just as a general overview, and stop me if I get anything wrong, but the general way documentation happens is when you submit your package to ROS.org to get the binaries generated, it gives you the option to generate documentation for this, and then that enables you to use all sorts of macros on wiki.ros.org in order to nicely link to the dependencies, the downstream packages, messages, and the like. And the wiki is primarily the main place for ROS documentation these days. It gets some use, and I think a lot of people use it as a resource. Not as many people are using it to maintain documentation as probably should. I am one of those guilty parties.
Yeah, just maybe a few words. On the one hand, you have like the binary jobs, and you have the separate thing as the doc jobs. And as soon as you register a package for binary jobs, you can already use things like the package header or the stack header macros in the wiki, which shows you the meta information available from the manifest file. And if you also have a doc job, then it actually runs doxygens or sphinx or whatever on your source code, which then appears on the side of your wiki page as like code API, basically. So these are the two different pieces, I think.
Yeah, this is following the general rule that if you want to find out how things actually work on the internet, you just say the wrong thing and somebody will eventually correct you. So thanks for that. So I think the particular thread that part of this conversation was inspired by was on Discourse, just talking about, finding a good place to announce your packages and the different ways that, you can make your packages available for people. I know that it is right now one of the things that there's been a back and forth on the ROS communication channels on, just how much signal versus noise there is, we've gone from ROS users having many messages a day to many fewer. And I think while I very much appreciate having less to sift through, it has also made people more hesitant to actually post their contributions, their packages, and announce them to the general community.
Hi, David. Yeah, so one of the things that we've done recently is the switch to Discourse has been, I think, a good chance to bring that back to increase the posting volume. We've seen a good amount of growth. There's an About tab where you can see the number of people actively on the website, the number of posts, etc. A couple days or 7 and 30 day snapshots, as well as all time. But yeah, definitely ways to encourage people to communicate and share more is valuable.
So I know that with every release, there is a list of new packages that are available, and speaking for myself, I know that that's often a very long list and all you have is a package name to go with it. And it's a place where you know, some curation and manual effort would be needed, but I wish there were a way where we could just say that, you know, okay, these 17 packages were added, here's a brief description of each. I know that's a lofty goal.
That's certainly something we look at adding. That list is auto-generated from the Debian packages, and the shortest path for adding information there would be to have Debian changelogs inserted. However, we don't have those generated at the moment. We do have the changelog information in the packages if the maintainers have added it, but this would require some cross-referencing and scripting to pull all that stuff together to generate the aggregate changelog. That's something I'd love to do, and I can give pointers if someone else has time to do it. I haven't had time to actually pursue that for that script.
So I think that's one place where we could advance things is like just encouraging more high-level descriptions, even outside of the change logs. I know that every package should have a brief in it, in the metadata package XML. Could we make those required for releasing Debians?
I mean, the field is required in the package.xml, and cross-referencing with just the package.xml is much easier than actually pulling the change logs, because those are stored in the Rust distro cache.
Are non-empty tags required?
No. I mean, it might error, but if it's truly empty, but I don't think so. It'll probably just tell you the description is quote-unquote.
But David, are you now referring to the brief tag that was in the old manifests, or are you really just talking about a first line in the description tag in the current package XMLs?
Is there not a brief tag in package XML, or is it only a manifest?
Well, as far as I know, the brief tag was removed from the package XML, but Derek was probably going to comment on that.
No, that's correct. The current package XML file only has a description field. It's not a brief one. Usually we show the first line of a description if we need an abbreviated version.
Right. Okay, that was an oversight on my part.
Well, there is actually an option in Bloom, or there's something in Bloom that I added some years ago that takes the first line of a package XML description tag and uses that as the brief description in the Debian that's generated. But there's no brief tag no more.
Right, so that would make it harder to auto-generate and collate a brief synopsis, although either the first line or the whole description could be used in auto-generating something like that. So I guess the thing that I was hoping to get out of this is just sort of brainstorming a couple different directions for, you know, ways that we could, you know, make the whole documentation process either easier or more streamlined, more centralized. I know that one of the things that I discussed on the discourse thread was the fact that, you know, there is no general system for tagging in the ROS wiki. I mean, you can add categories, but they are not widely used. At various times, I have been a proponent of adding, you know, a URDF category to all the different packages that, you know, have created URDFs, or, you know, all the different navigation configurations. Those are just both close to my heart, but I'm sure there's, you know, many more, whether it be MoveIt or infrastructure or the like. What do people think of that? Like, is there a way we could promote that as a documentation method?
I mean, so like if we were to tag packages that provide descriptions as URDFs or whatever, and maybe we could have tags for things that have Arvis plugins or things that have MoveIt plugins, or, you know, is it a technical tagging or is it like related to? And then I guess a follow-up question is, what's the goal in exposing, what kind of information are we exposing there? I mean, is it useful? Well, yeah, I'm trying to imagine a situation where I'd want to look up the description packet, all the description packages in ROS, but just description packages. Do you think that's like what's missing, or I don't know.
I mean, I know for a long time, every robot description that I made, I just opened up the PR2 description and based it off of that. And, you know, was looking for various features in there. And if I couldn't find them, you know, I would have to go to other URDFs, eventually wrote tutorials for it. But similarly, like, I think a lot of navigation configurations are based off of the PR2 one, just because, you know, that is the maybe most robust one that is centralized. And so lots of times people are just looking for examples of like, well, how do I configure this? How do I build up a package that does this? And, you know, seeing a list could be useful for that. Obviously, could go the other way and be overwhelming as well.
I think it would be useful. I'm just trying to understand, like, what problem are we trying to solve? Like, that's a, I think it's an important use case, but it's, I guess I came into this with the understanding that this was more about discovering packages that do something for you. Like, if I need a driver for a particular sensor, or I need an algorithm for, you know, doing robot localization or something like that, maybe we should take a step back and try to define what the issues are according to that discourse thread and which ones we'd like to try to address.
Going along that route, like, how do you find localization packages on the wiki right now? You can just search for maybe star localization and see the different packages, but, you know, then you won't find things like AMCL. So some granularity of tagging there. So, you know, saying, okay, this is a localization package. It is one solution to that. I need something that does X. Here are a list of tags. Maybe some of them are related to X.
So hearing that idea, I think what we're actually talking about is actually we need to have a concept of generalized capabilities. And like you're talking about what are the equivalents and what can be replaced. And so we actually, if we want to do something like this, it might actually make sense to, this is starting to get into the idea of having these sort of standardized interfaces that there are swappable items or sets of items that can provide that capability. So that might be something we could think about going toward is then you can get to the swappable where it's like GMapping and Cardo and hopefully Cartographer soon. Those will all be swappable SLAM systems.
I think that's a great goal. I just think that there's a step before that. So, you know, I can imagine that getting hung up while Google and whoever's maintaining AMCL right now haggle on what the standardized localization or interface should be. In the meantime, you know, just grouping together and saying, like, those four things that you listed are doing roughly similar things, even if they are not technically swappable.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it comes down to the tagging. Like, if it's completely voluntary, like, I think it's going to be where we still come back around to the issue of, you know, if people aren't adding any documentation on the ROS.org wiki at all, then tagging is like yet another thing that we have to somehow encourage them to do it, right? So maybe we need to brainstorm about just generally involvement in the tooling that we already have, as well as if we really want additional thing like tagging to work.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see it if it were like when you submit an academic paper to certain conferences, they will make you select some number of keywords to say this is what this paper is about, just to, you know, help their own metadata collection. So, you know, you might say this is a navigation related, and, you know, there's a whole hierarchy of categories there. There's some element that should be not prescriptive, i.e., you know, don't force people to come up with the exact tags, because I know that lots of people have their own very particular use case and it won't generalize. But I think there are a top-down sort of like, okay, let's, you know, like right now, just brainstorm some high level categories and then like subcategories and then give people a framework to start filling in.
Yeah, so the REAP project in Germany actually uses ontologies to provide users with tags that they can choose from. They're still allowed to add their own, but initially the system will suggest a few tags based on the sort of, I think it does code introspection or something. And then it provides you with a number of tags that you should add to your package description. And then afterwards it uses those things to actually suggest packages based on the requirements that you set up in the system configuration wizard. I'm not sure how useful this is, but at least the ontology idea is a nice one. It's just that ontologies are notoriously difficult to create and get everyone to agree on.
Yeah, and I think there is value, going back to what I believe Tully said, was, you know, in creating these prescriptive interfaces, there are going to be lots of things that theoretically, you know, take in sensor data and output a command velocity or, you know, some other pattern like that. And even just starting to gather those, not enforcing them, but just recognizing those patterns, I think would be useful.
I think from the approach how you want to like group them and find which ones are like similar in whatever similar means, I think there are two different ways. People could add a tag or something into their manifest, and then some algorithm crawls through all the packages and creates a wiki page for example, navigation algorithms, and lists all of the ones which have that tag, or just a different way to do it, but basically achieving the same thing. For example, for RQT plugins, the approach is you write your RQT plugin, and then there is a page which lists all available RQT plugins, and you just add yours to the list, so it makes it also discoverable for the user. I think both approaches need like the input from the person who contributes a package, either being it adding a tag to the manifest, which needs to be specified what are valid tags, as well, or as on the other hand, when you create the package, register it on an existing wiki page to make it discoverable. But I think for both of them, you need the buy-in of the users to actually know where and how to register your contribution.
Right, so that goes back to this fundamental question of where the proper places are to get buy-in from all of the contributors. So we have a good amount of the packages that are being made for ROS end up getting Debian's made, going to the ROS build farm. I don't know if there are numbers on like what percentage of those are be like even have pages on the ROS wiki, and you know what percentage of them are actually have useful data on them. But it gets back to this question of, you know, where is the best place to incentivize contributors to add the extra information?
I think at one point there was talk about automatically creating the wiki page when someone does a release for the first time, if it doesn't already exist, but I think there might have been some technical reservations about that. But that would at least get the page there, and then if we already created the page for them and did the package header, then you know they could just we could point them to it at the end of the process. I'm not sure where the best place to hook into there would be, but you know, maybe that might encourage people to use the space more, or at the very least just post a link to their external documentation there. That doesn't really address the tagging or categorization issues.
Yeah, there's the issue of incentivizing, and then there's, you know, way or making it as easy as possible. I guess that would be fall under that category. But then also, you know, what do we want them to do once they say, okay, I'm going to help with this documentation? And so those are, I think, the two different threads. There are a couple additional submitted questions that were on this page.
Now, in ROS Industrial, we make extensive use of the wiki, and one thing we noticed was that, and I'm sure we're not the only ones, it's really hard to keep all that in sync with your source code and all your released versions of packages, and then everything is spread out across different ROS versions as well, and it just really becomes a hassle to keep these things in sync. And so we were thinking that well, you know, we were looking at some different options for documentation. One of the first things we obviously saw was things like Swings and Jekyll and other sort of things. And in MoveIt, where I'm also sort of involved in this, in MoveIt we have a large bit of documentation generated by Swings and Jekyll both, actually. That's done by the ROS build farm for us as well. So in ROS Industrial, we're currently debating whether it might make sense to just completely sort of migrate to those things instead of using the wiki, and then refer to the output or the generated documentation from the wiki. But that obviously sort of removes or that leads to people basically just first looking up your package, going to the wiki, clicking on a link on the wiki, and then you're completely sort of outside the normal ROS ecosystem. Well, at least you're not on the wiki anymore. So I was just wondering whether we could come up with a way to nicely integrate generate documentation like those from Swings or Jekyll into the wiki itself. I'm not sure how that would work technically. I know Moin Moin is not the easiest thing to integrate with, but that was one of the first things that came to mind, basically.
It's something we looked at too, because as you say, it's hard to have with the wiki content, it's hard to just use the seesaws and stuff to version all of your documentation, and having the branching and commit history and cherry picking abilities provided by a version control system helps a lot with that. with the wiki, it's always like, it's sort of like duplicate on change or something like that scheme, where it's like you have your documentation for one version and the next version of something changed, you like duplicate that piece that changed and then version switch it, and then it becomes really difficult really quickly. So we have looked at using something generated as well. But as you say, you know, integrating is a real question. I think, you know, like your second question, looking ahead a bit, is should the wiki actually just be one giant Interlink Sphinx doc? That's an attractive idea. Converting the existing ROS1 wiki, though, is it's a lot of content, or it would be a lot of content, I think, if we needed to do that. So that's a pretty big barrier. Sort of a halfway solution, as you've described a little bit in the first question, seems like the best like stepping stone forward, but as you said, it's still not clear to me how that would technically work. Like, you would think like maybe Sphinx interconnect, you'd need to be able, maybe we need like a Sphinx, a custom Sphinx directive that allows you to link to ROS wiki pages from your Sphinx documentation or something, so that you could sort of feel like you're still linking within the same wiki, even though the documentation is generated separately.
So on that vein, you know, in researching for today's chat, you know, looking at the wiki macros page on the ROS wiki, there is a link to the ROS wiki repository that has all of the ROS custom plugins that we have for the ROS wiki. So are there general guidelines on how best to create these new macros? So if we were to create something Sphinx specific or, you know, other hooks that we could add to the pages that might make documentation easier, are there general guidelines for developing those?
Generally, there are more than one plugins. We don't want to generally bring in large dependencies, so we can keep it running on the server, and they can't take a lot of CPU horsepower, so that we don't make our wiki server fall offline more often than it already does.
Fair enough. Is there anything on the existing wish list for ROS wiki integration? One thing that I had already been thinking about was ROS was started a little bit pre-explosion of GitHub, and you know, GitHub has its own wiki forms, and you know, if there, I did have the general thought of, you know, would it be better if we were concentrating on, you know, having people build their documentation in that environment that they completely control, under source control, on the GitHub side, and then be able to have a wiki macro that would just insert it into wiki.ros.org.
Yeah, that's basically what I was thinking of as well. But then I just called it Sphinx or Jekyll or whatever.
GitHub wikis have the same problem with tracking different source versions for documentation that the ROS wiki would. Definitely using something like Jekyll and static site host like GitHub Pages, where you have more control over being able to specify and upload multiple branches in your documentation, would be better than trying to use GitHub wikis for that.
True. So I guess there's GitHub wikis, and then there's also just markdown documents within the GitHub repositories that you could link to.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And the ability to embed the various things would be a great macro. We've had some versions like that in the past. Things like the code macro will pull content and embed it and make it available for embedding with even some markup stuff as well. There are limitations that requires the right version, et cetera, to pull, and also that it slows down the server sometimes, notably if it gives bad URLs that go wrong and now the server is trying to pull bad URLs.
Okay, that's good to know. Is there a compelling reason for having things be more weighted on the wiki.ros side rather than on the individual? So centralized control or distributed control, I guess is the real question. The current documentation leans more towards the centralized model.
So I'm not sure it's so much about the control, but it's actually the hosting that we can provide the quality of service. Things like if you want to have a mirror of the wiki that you take offline and you want to get all the documentation, right now we have a technique you can do to set up an offline mirror. But if all of the wiki content is actually just embeds of remote URLs, your mirrored content is useless if you're offline, because all you do is get a bunch of embed not found. Things like that, and also being able to reskin it, add a new distro, we can do that at the global level, and suddenly, like, you know, the macro adds one more
and you don't have to rerun the documentation job on every single repository in the Federation.
Right, so a GitHub style embedding plugin or Sphinx, Jekyll, or the like, I think would be useful, but I probably then we wouldn't want to migrate all the way that way.
I mean, I think the sort of trying to merge the generated documentation with the wiki is valuable, but we don't necessarily want to start recommending that we go entirely out of the ecosystem and just say people host your own stuff, because then the cross references don't work as well, the tags don't work as well. We do a lot of work on the auto-generated documentation to do things like keep all the tag files there so the docs can cross references. And I think we now have Sphinx cross-reference support as well.
But I think looking at some of the wiki pages, I think people already choose that option if they think it's beneficial for their workflow, that a wiki page sometimes just contains the information, hey, this is package foo, and you find the documentation on that page and you point to wherever you like. You can point to read the docs or however you want to write your package documentation. But I think that's already happening for some of the package if the maintainer feels more comfortable or thinks it's more efficient or more appropriate for his use case.
That particularly happens with third-party packages that have a life outside of ROPS.
The MOVEit documentation is basically in the same way. We host it somewhere. Well, we host it on MOVEit.ROS.org, but anyway, it's a link away from the wiki.
I think the other big thread that was out there was documenting multiple versions. And this is the next question that was submitted, which was, you know, how to efficiently document multiple different versions of a package in a single ROS version. Notes that the Gazebo wiki uses version selectors. I know that one approach to looking at this was ROS Index, that website, which was created by Jonathan Baran, as a way to try to cross-reference a lot of different information about the different forks that exist out there. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it to the call. He messaged me earlier today, but you know, he hasn't had much time to work on it. And when I asked him what the status was, really his response was just that he would like to see some additional funding on Bounty Source to, you know, help develop it, because really the only people there aren't, it hasn't gotten a lot of use thus far.
Well, I mean, the ROS Index, I really, really like it, but I'm just not really seeing how that helps with documenting multiple versions of the same package in a single ROS release.
I am personally less familiar with ROS Index as a tool, so I can't specifically say, but I thought there was some vein in there that allowed you to see different forks.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I should clarify what I meant with version then. So not necessarily forks, but my question was more about, you know, you have version 1.2 point whatever, and you have 1.2 point whatever plus one, and there's some sort of change in there. Right now, we basically add those little yellow thingies that say new in version something. But sometimes those changes are really so big that you don't want to litter the same page with all these yellow exclamation marks. And it might just be nice to be able to switch the entire page over. And as William already said, you know, people basically just duplicate the page and then have a link to a duplicate page with all the changes in there. But it might be nice to actually be able to sort of, you know, have a drop down somewhere that lets you select a version for some reason or the other. And I think there's something like that on the read the docs page or site as well. And that's all integrated with the Sphinx generation. That was basically what I was wondering about.
Well, I think conceptually the wiki offers you that only on the level of a ROS distribution, because usually the assumption is that within one ROS distribution, there are like small patch releases and fixes, right? So that's why the wiki only has that conceptually on the distro level for ROS. I can see your use case, but I think that's why it doesn't exist in the wiki, because the basic assumption is that your package does not change that significantly within a single ROS distribution, which might only hold for some packages lower in the stack and not higher. But I think that's the major reason why it doesn't exist as a feature in the wiki at the moment.
I'll note there is also the show hide, and the version macro is just building on top of that, where you can actually put in your own clickable version type macro. Like the version macro, we've given a specific one to be in the ROS version, but you can implement your own using the macros.
Is that something that's currently supported, or are you saying that that might be something that could be supported?
There are some, because we have the ROS distro version, we have the Catkin versus ROS build TikToks. I believe you can implement your own custom one. I haven't done that recently, so I can't confirm. Not everyone here is sure they can't. We can. Might need a slightly modified macro from what's already there.
Yeah, currently looking at the version macro, I think it supports what was pointed out before. You can specify the version, but you can probably specify a custom thing. You don't have to resolve to Rust distro names. But at the end of the day, that requires you to have a page which duplicates the content and has the modified version in there, which kind of defeats the purpose. I think that was what was pointed out before, right?
Yeah, I think the big thing that generated documentation, like the way that people use read the docs, the big benefit there is that if you have a change in the documentation from one version to the next, then that's probably in some version control system and you can diff it and cherry pick and things like that. Once you start to split documentation by version in the wiki, it's all managed by you and, you know, in these seesaw macros where you can say if this button selected, show this text, otherwise show this text. And that's a lot harder to scale in my experience.
So does anyone know of any sort of federated systems comparable to ROS? That how do they approach these kind of documentation problems?
The best thing I can think of is the Atom text editor, atom.io. They have lots of little packages that do various things in the editor, and all of them are aggregated in a single site, sort of like we have for the ROS wiki, where they say like who developed it, where the source code repository is, how you can install it. And they basically, all they do is they take the README file from the GitHub repository it's on. I think it assumes it's on a GitHub repository, and they embed that into their page where they describe the different packages. And it's not like, I'm not sure if that page is editable by the maintainers or not. Like, I don't think it's a wiki style page. I think it basically whatever's on their README. I don't know how they handle different versions though.
Yeah, I don't think that page supports versioning. It basically shows you what's currently on the latest default branch in the repo, so you don't have the feature. And it only shows you the latest version. It does not allow you to do like multi-version different documentation content. I would think read the docs is probably one which gets most close to what you want in that case, because they actually, whenever you tag a new version, and you can tag them for every patch release, they can show you the generated documentation for that. But that, again, is generated from like existing RST files or something.
Well, you said it's generated from RST files, but you say that like that's a problem, right? Does it matter? Is there a drawback that you see?
Oh, no. It's just a different approach. So, I mean, the difference for the wiki is that everybody can just jump in and edit it. Whereas if you use an RST file in a Git repo, you usually expect everybody who wants to make a contribution to make a pull request for it, because usually they don't have write access to your repo. I think both paths are viable, depending on your use case. Maybe you lean to one or the other, but I think it's just pointing out it's a different way than the wiki, where you can just jump in and change something.
Yep. I understand. You're entirely correct.
Okay, so I guess I'll just ask the pointed question. What would the maintainers of the build farm be comfortable with making required in order to submit new Debian patches? Adding 5 tags to the packages, is that unheard of, or would that be too much of a burden?
So I wouldn't generally not go the path and require certain information, which is currently optional, because the only thing you get is from people who don't care. They will fill it with like garbage, and or if you have to have a description field or you have to have a tag field, they will just put empty or to do or something in, which is not useful. I think the better approach is that you have the option to fill in things. Like if we decide we want to have something like tags, then that's optional, but you need the people to do it. I don't think that forcing the people to fill something in will improve that.
There's something in between. I mean, you can prompt them to do it and then just have like a button in the corner that says, no thanks, I don't actually want to do this. And I think that would do a lot to raise the visibility of it. Like, I think a legitimate problem is that a lot of people who release packages don't realize they need to create a wiki page, for example, after they've released or even done just a doc job. I mean, it's in the tutorial, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it follows that they do that. You can imagine a lot of things you could do, some of which would take work, but you know, you can imagine, for example, we could, after the first time a doc job runs successfully for a package, we could wait 5 days, and after 5 days, if they haven't created a wiki page, we send them an email and be like, hey, We're not going to send you another email, but we just want to remind you that you should create a wiki page if you want to document this thing.
Maybe Bloom could even like try, if you do a release, check that there is a wiki page, and if not, like at least give a message to the user, hey, would you mind creating this one? That's probably the first interaction point.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd do that, but because technically the wiki page, if you go to a wiki page, I guess there's a standard page it returns you, but it's not like a 404 though.
Yeah, unfortunately the wiki gives soft 404s, which are hard to detect.
That's actually not true. If you open a wiki page which doesn't exist, you get a 404 currently. I just called wiki.rust.org/foo, and I get a 404 on that one.
You don't get to create this page?
No, I get the page, like, this page does not exist. What type of page are you trying to create with the options of, like, different templates?
You'd have to actually...
But is it actually a 404 code?
In order to know.
Yes, it is a 401 HTTP code.
Okay, that should be deductible, then.
Do we think there is value in starting a sort of ontological tagging system for current ROS packages?
Well, I would welcome it. There is an ontology already. I can reach out to the guys who created it for REAP and see if we could start from there. But as I said, the problem with the ontologies is that everyone sort of has their own idea about them.
Yeah, a case study would be to look at the tags on answers.ros.org, which are just shotgun approach. That doesn't mean they're not useful. I mean, if you have enough things, the difference is that with the answers website, that there's enough questions that even if some people get the tags wrong, they like, I think this is the law of large numbers, perhaps. They just, you get some that get settled on. But my fear is with packages, we don't have enough for people to say, one person say localization and another person use robot_localization for their tag. And then you just start having fragmentation. So we need some curation. But I do think it would be useful. I just don't know where to capture it, whether it would be better in the ROS distro information or if it should be in the package XML or what. Or a separate system like ROS Index. I think ROS Index has a system like this.
I think assuming that it could be an information you just throw in your manifest under export and list a number of tags, I think the question will be how does it integrate with the wiki? Because you would like to have a wiki page for all the tags navigation. And that kind of either needs to be created manually and then calls an appropriate macro to collect all the packages which have that reference. Or it needs to be something which even doesn't need to be created explicitly, which might be more complicated to integrate into Moin Moin.
So in general, I think adding these different options and making them somewhat visible in some of these processes, whether it's through prompts in Bloom, emails after the fact, or even bounties of, or you know, reminders, I think those will help us in the path, at least towards getting more documentation, whether it's actually going to fill out the entire structure. I mean, we know it's not going to get to that point, but I think adding some of these hooks will be beneficial. So we're about at our scheduled hour. Are there other things people want to touch upon before we wrap this up? In post-production, I'm going to add a cricket sound here.
Well, the biggest problem seems to be it's really a people problem, right? You can add as many sort of technical thingies in there to make it as easy as possible. But if people don't actually take the or make the effort to do something, then you can add all the cricket sounds you want, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think, though, that just adding prompts makes a big difference. Like, I think our experience, at least my experience with adding stuff to Bloom, is that if we prompt people about it, they use it. Sometimes incorrectly, but at least they start using it. And that's better than not. Because I feel like if it's just in a paragraph on a wiki page and it's not one of the boxes they're supposed to copy and paste into their terminal, they just don't read it.
True, yeah.
The other approach is the secret ROS wiki bot that I'm writing to try to generate documentation automatically. But currently, it's that the development of that is stalled. So maybe someday, but... it would at least prompt people to, like I said before, put the wrong things out there so that they can then later correct them.
If you want to be up with all the current trends, you should have an AI bot that's a chat bot that'll just answer your questions for you.
I already have the Gmail plugin that says, no, cost maps don't do that yet. So, all right, let's just wrap this up. Thanks, everybody, for coming in and chatting about this. We should have another one soon.
Yeah, thanks for hosting, David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice.